Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to shift gears for you, and this is going to be a very interesting topic for our business owners out there or folks that are trying to reach people with their sales and marketing. And so we have a special program lined up for you to talk about digital marketing, online marketing, internet marketing, whatever you want to call it, is reaching people online with your message. If it's about growing your business, reaching new customers, all that good stuff that the internet potentially has for you. And so to help us sort that out and understand it better, as I like to do on this program, went out and found an expert in the field and brought him to you. His name is Alan Jordan, and he's on the line with me. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. And Alan is managing partner of the Farpoint Alliance. And the website for today's program, get more information, farpointalliance.com, just like it sounds, farpointalliance.com. And they're on Twitter and Facebook. And Alan comes to us with a whole bunch of education. I'm adding this up, Alan. You're about 110? I'm just kidding.
It seems that way.
It does look that way, but I've seen your picture and you're not. You're in your prime. So, but Alan is he's got an MBA in information technology from New York Institute of Technology, executive MBA in sales and marketing from Columbia University, certificate in market strategy from Cornell University, and this list goes on and on. And the one I have to ask you about is a certified ethical hacker.
A lot of people stop on that one.
They do. Well, you put it out there. I got to ask. So you, I get it, though. It makes sense. So you know how to get people in there and get them to reach the right message. That's what that's about.
Yes. I mean, the whole point of that is just to show vulnerabilities in your websites and things like that.
Very good. Well, we appreciate your ethical approach. So tell us, I'm gonna jump around, and I know Alan can indulge me here because there's so many things we can talk about with the online and digital marketing, the search engine optimization, all of that. What is the number one thing that business owners or business people or salespeople, folks that might want to consider doing this or maybe who are already doing this, Alan, what's the number one mistake that they make in your mind, from your perspective, from your experience where you sit? What's the number one mistake they make when they try to do this kind of marketing?
I think the number one mistake is the fact that so many people, from the small business perspective, still do not have websites. U.S. Census Bureau did a survey in 2012. It showed about 76% of people, business owners, still do not have websites. So
At
that point, it's very difficult to market online without them.
That seems kind of basic, but that's such a high percentage.
It really is. I mean, if you think about it, that the browser came about in about 95, 96. So that's almost 20 years ago in which the internet has been a very big part of our society. So if you think about in terms of evolutions in other technology, if you didn't get a car for 20 years, if you had a business,
or cell phone,
if you didn't get a telephone for 20 years and you didn't have a business, I mean, there's so much out there. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's remarkable, and you totally surprised me with your answer. I thought it was going to be that 75% of businesses don't do digital or social media marketing because they haven't understood that that's an integral part of marketing today. But you put me in a time machine and took me further back. I mean, so humor me and answer that next question, then, if you would, Alan. Is it still, if 75% don't have a website, then I guess it's a real easy leap to say a lot of people still don't understand, business people trying to sell their services and goods, still don't have that social media presence.
Correct. Well, a lot of people do. So when you say websites, you're not counting things like Facebook or Twitter.
Okay, so there is some of that.
Right. There is some of that, and because of that, people don't understand that those two things, those social media platforms, are basically closed. They're close to the membership of, other people within that. So you're not really marketing to all the people you can market to.
Good point.
By just having a Facebook page or just a Twitter page or something like that.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So would you agree with me that those platforms and that social media is still, for a lot of businesses, still largely untapped?
Yes, definitely. But there's also a prevalence of the number of amount of fake profiles under those things. Depending on who estimates you listen to, it's any place between 10 to 40 to 50% of these numbers within Facebook or Twitter are not real. So you're not going to reach, that's not going to do you any good either, saying, hey, well, I'm in this place that has, 500 million, numbers, and half of them are not real.
And those companies that might be selling you the opportunity to reach all those members, they don't really have a big motivation to call those out, do they?
Yes. Plus, it's not a good place to necessarily target because these are, international, global type of communities. You're going to end up missing a lot of your market potential, too.
Well, that's a great point, and that's a nice softball for me to hit, Alan, is what would be better things for people to be thinking about in terms of how to reach that target market?
To actually just use all aspects. You just can't focus on one thing. You can't throw all your eggs in one basket. It's not going to get there. But it starts out with a website and then utilizing everything. I mean, things like radio, newspaper, and magazine are dying. However, they still have some value.
So is it an oversimplification to say that it's the synergy and the cross-pollination or the leveraging of these platforms that you being in all of them or a lot of them gives you that greater message to your target demographic?
That's very well said. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. I hope we got that recorded because I don't get an intelligent one like that every day. Oh, no, I'm kidding. I think I appreciate that. And the reason I ask it, and of course I've forgotten we're doing a radio program, Alan. I'm curious because of course I try to get my message to my target market that I can help them plan stronger with their finances. And so I'm very curious, and we've actually just, you will be proud of us, we just in a significant way just really lit a fire under our social media component of our marketing to let people know we're here. And it's because of folks like you that have leadership in this area that we say, hey, these are people telling us that this is smart to do, so we're going to listen.
Right. And with that social media, the other aspect is the online reputation management should be included in that part of that social media marketing.
Yeah, and I would like to actually spend a little bit of time talking about that. Let's grab a quick break. Okay, Alan. Alan Jordan, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, managing partner of the Farpoint Alliance, farpointalliance.com. We'll be right back after this short break.
Here's a newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. Some invest in their education by getting advanced degrees and professional certifications. Some don't. Some advisors get multiple licenses and offer a wide range of solutions. Some don't. Some advisors choose to be independent. Some don't. Some advisors disclose how they are paid and the fees they charge. Some don't. Please don't settle for a don't. Let me introduce you to independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, a certified financial planner, a personal financial specialist, and a chartered financial consultant. With 23 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Alan Jordan on the line. He's managing partner of the Farpoint Alliance, and it's farpointalliance.com, easy site to navigate. I was just there taking a look myself at some of the things that Alan's doing with his company there and helping people with all of these different things that we're talking about. And we started to get into before the break, and I'd like to spend a few minutes if we could, Alan, about you mentioned the online reputation, which there's one thing to be aware of it, and it's another one to try to have an impact on it. And so I guess the first thing is, how does a company or a person, if they're a business owner or they're providing a service and they have recognition out there, how do they develop an online reputation? How does that come to be?
Well, with social media driving everything, your online reputation is very easily developed. If someone's unhappy with you, they're going to say something. If someone's happy with you, they also will say something. Statistically, it's 1 in 3 people that have negative things to say will post versus 1 in 10 for positive things. So you almost have to grow that positive response by asking for feedback in order to get it.
Yeah, and unfortunately for me, I'm not allowed to do that, Alan, because of the investment part of what I do. There's rules against getting endorsements, but for other businesses, of course, they can really thrive on that, and based on the statistics, they better be out there at least to stay even, hitting a 3-to-1 ratio, right?
I mean, with
the motivations that people have, and I think anybody that's been on a computer certainly can agree with that. You know, that natural tendency for how we might post that feedback. Now, is there anything, this is the next natural question that my business owners want me to ask you, Alan, anything you can do to really impact that reputation? Are there specific things that you can do to really try to manage it?
Well, the first thing is you have to be aware of it. A lot of people, for lack of better terms, have a tendency to sleep on that. And because of that, you have things that they're unaware of that ruin their business. For instance, if you ran a hotel and someone put on something like TripAdvisor or Yelp that their visit there, they found bed bugs.
Ooh, okay.
You know, that's going to pop up. People are going to see it and not book. And you're going to wonder why your bookings are down. And it's because of one person who said something.
Wow. So you better be aware of it. And then you address it with that person, or you write a response or do something, right?
Yes, but you have to be careful about getting into a battle with a negative responder. You know, everyone has their opinion, so you have to let them have their opinion.
Good point.
You know, without getting into a battle with them. But there's ways in which you can rebuttal, you know, provide rebuttals. For instance, the number one thing to do is to fix whatever the problem.
That's a great place to start.
Right. And then there's ways in which you can, you know, say that it was fixed. So, for instance, in, let's say, TripAdvisor, someone said, hey, we found bed bugs there. You can post using Instagram or something, here's your certification from the health department, the bed bug company, or whatever, that they didn't find anything or that it was done.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or that the entire hotel has been fumigated and stripped to its bare wires and rebuilt in the last 3 days. You're good.
Exactly.
You're good to come to our place.
Yep. Here's proof of it.
Yeah. before and after pictures I'm picturing in my mind. So, no, I think that's excellent, Alan. I mean, because I think that it's so easy for companies to lose sight of that. Obviously, being aware of it's a first step, but you definitely don't want to fight, as you said, have a back and forth out there in the social media, because it is just replete with downside risk to the business.
Right, and also by doing that, search engines look at things that are most the newer items that were posted, and try to pull those, especially Google. With that said, if you go into a battle with these people, and you know, it's going to be one of the first things that's seen.
Yeah, you're going to keep it. You're going to keep pulling
keep
it up.
Active.
You need to let it. You need to address it, and then you need to put a Band-Aid on it, and you need to move on and let it fall.
Exactly.
And drift
naturally
to the bottom. Yeah, I like that. That makes a lot of sense, Alan. I want to kind of ask another question because of this, where things are headed here. We're tuned into this because we think it's important. Where is all this headed? Where is all this headed with the social media and the digital marketing and the search engine optimization, your online reputation, all this stuff? Where's you mentioned 20 years ago, where things were. Where is all this going? What do you see in front of us?
Well, the big thing I think is that you're going to have changes in your infrastructure that will impact the whole internet, whether it's social media, online marketing, or whatever. Because just think back, not that long ago, when I said about 95 and the early 2000s, people were using dial-up technology.
Right.
So with that, you couldn't have that many images on your website, let alone videos. Then more people started going with broadband, getting cable modems and things like that in their house. So now you go to a website, there's videos and all that. YouTube marketing has become important. So as that bandwidth is able to be increased throughout, you're going to see changes in that. You're going to see the 10-second YouTube video becomes now a 3-minute one. You're going to see more things pop up on websites that, you know, that use bandwidth. Just because the technology is changing, that will allow that. And that trickles down to smartphones also. You know, smartphones are putting cameras out of business. There's more pictures taken on smartphones than on cameras.
Right.
You know, there's more searches on YouTube and almost as much as the same was on Google.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy how we're getting into this instant access, you know, mentality. And, you know, the changes in the technology will also drive that more so than anything else.
I'm sure you've noticed, Alan, that, you know, and I'm sure you're keenly aware of this, that our attention span or our patience span has gotten awfully short, where if a website, whether we're on a computer, or especially if we're on a computer, but if we're on a smartphone or something like that, and we hit a website, we do a search, and that website doesn't come up within, you know, 3 to 5 seconds, we figure it must be broken.
Actually, it's three.
Three? Okay. So, but it's interesting, your observation. I also read a statistic the other day, and I can't cite the source or the specific percentage, but there's projections that the future, as you describe, Alan, the future of, you know, what's on these websites and what's out there is the really going to be dominated by video.
Yes.
And I just find that fascinating. And, you know, we're actually looking to incorporate more video into our, you know, online presence. Do you... When you mentioned that 10-second versus like a 3-minute video, what's your thought? Because I'm sure there's different thoughts about this. I'm curious of your opinion. What do you think about the video that automatically starts versus having somebody have the option of clicking on it and actually being in control of it?
Actually, those are fine. It's just a matter of whether or not you have the technology to determine if someone has already visited the site.
Ah, okay. Because if they've already been there, you don't want to keep playing the same video
exactly.
For them. All right. Smart. Very smart. You see why we have Alan on, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Jordan is our guest, managing partner of the Farpoint Alliance. FarpointAlliance.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Then maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary. What's a fiduciary? That's a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. Being a fiduciary also means that the advisor should recommend the products and services he believes will best serve his client's needs, not what an insurance or investment company tells him he has to sell. So next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary?" The answer should only be yes or no. If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer is probably no. This public service announcement has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Alan Jordan on the line with us. He is the managing partner of Farpoint Alliance, farpointalliance.com. And they are all over the stuff we're talking about on today's program. And I've got a couple of questions I want to make sure we get to, Alan. My staff actually knew you were going to be on the program. They're like, make sure you ask them this, make sure you ask them that. So I've got a few questions from very interested listeners. And so the first question, which I know is going to seem like a little bit of a basic question, but I think it's good to understand how digital marketing or can digital marketing really make a small business, because again, that's the backbone of this country, make a small business more competitive?
It definitely can. I mean, it's the starting place, like I said earlier, get a website, but you can compete with anyone once you're in that place. And, you know, that's the start of it.
So it really, this also will seem like an oversimplification, but it seems that technology has really leveled, at least made the playing field a little more level, where a smaller firm, and by Wall Street standards, my firm would certainly be a smaller firm, going up against the Goliath of whatever financial institution I may be competing against, and often enough, thankfully, we win. And
exactly.
Part of that is technology.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting. And now we touched on briefly, I wanted to ask you about search marketing. you know, where people are going out and they, so if somebody types in my, they're in my market, Alan, and they type in financial planner, or they type in planner, financial planner, Ormond Beach, you know, hopefully my name comes up, and of course we pay attention to that, and my company name comes up. But what are some of the challenges that people face with that search marketing that they're trying to capture?
Well, with search marketing, there's two elements. There's the paid search, pay-per-click,
okay,
which is what you see at the very top, the first two positions, and usually down the right side, whether you're using Google, Bing, or Yahoo.
Okay.
So that is as good as the amount of money you're willing to put into it.
Okay.
You can play any place from, for as a business, you can pay any place between 10 cents to $10,000 per click.
Whoa.
Believe it or not.
Whoa.
So
$10,000 per click.
Right. It depends on, you know, how competitive that keyword is.
Good,
like,
good
for
point.
Instance, something like shoes would be very competitive because it's so broad.
Yeah.
And there's so many companies competing in that.
Wow.
So you would pay more for that than, you know, paying for, you know, silver plated gumdrops.
When the screen pops up in front of you, Alan, and you see all this stuff, do you like the ones, the paid clicks? Do you like the one on that right side? Do you like the banner ad? I mean, what do you like? What do you think works?
Well, from my perspective, I usually look at the ones that's in the free zone.
Yeah,
the free zone
exactly.
is where people put work in. But unfortunately, only about 20% of the revenue comes from that. People have a tendency to pick on the to click on the paid ones more.
Do they really? Interesting.
Yes. It's an 80-20 you know, rule applied to that, and it's you know, it's reverse. 80% of the revenue comes from 20% of the space. You know, so it's really funny.
That is interesting. But I think I know the answer to this, but social media as a general marketing strategy, it can drive business for a business. It can really make a difference, can't it?
Well, just look how it made a difference in the political campaigns, presidential campaign the last two elections. Social media drives everything these days, especially when you're dealing with the millennials and things like that who have a tendency to pay more attention to it. But when you see sites like Yelp, Angie's List, and things like that, which, you know, reviews are considered part of social media. So all these things can drive it.
That's very interesting. And these search engines, you know, you want to be in what, the top 10 or so?
You want to be in the top 10, but realistically, especially with Google, you know, I tell my clients, Google is not your friend. Unless you're willing to pay for them, it's going to be a very hard journey to try to get into the top in the competitive keyword in Google. Bing and Yahoo are much more friendlier. You know, getting there, you need to be within the top 30. The top 10 is a wonderful place to be. It's sort of like, you know, the sweet spot of marketing. But, you know, beyond that, it's just tough. It's
yeah,
really
it
tough.
Be.
And it's a journey. It's not, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It usually takes about 2 to 3 months to get there when you start from day one.
That brings me to another really good point that I wanted to make sure we got a chance for you to comment on, Alan, and that is it kind of comes full circle to where we started this discussion, and that is about content. Does having a lot of content, you know, the radio or the blogging or the different things that a company may do, Does all that kind of help with your, you know, the content marketing, if you will? Does that all help you in, you know, kind of going in with your social media presence and getting that, you know, getting yourself up the list, so to speak?
Yes, it does. I mean, Google looks at things they call relevance. So if your site is about shoes, you know, you should have a lot of commentary about that, and also a lot of connecting sites. But with the key to that is also not to have a lot of dead sites. People create their social media presence. You know, they'll sign up for a Facebook account, a Twitter account, and then never go back to it. So that's not a good thing. So
that could do more damage than good, couldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're not going to use these things, even though you signed up for them, just remove them, delete them.
Interesting.
It's better. And also, you know, ask for testimonials. I know you said that in your business.
But other businesses certainly can.
But you can. Yeah. You can. I spend a lot of time in the financial industry. Your type has to be based on just your relationship in terms of customer service. They provided customer service. You're not talking about the return.
Right. No guarantees of performance.
Exactly. It's just that, you know, we had a good relationship with them. They understood our goals, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, I learned something too, Alan. Thank you. That's excellent. Very good. Alan Jordan, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. He's teaching us about social media and digital marketing and all of these things. A lot more information over at farpointalliance.com. And Alan, I want to thank you for being on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good job. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.